Proverbs 3, Proverbs 11, and Proverbs, or Malachi chapter 3. So we will arrive, we will make a few comments, and then we'll get into the heart of the message for this morning. And before we do, let's make our prayer and let's ask God to enable us and to help us to capture our heart, open our eyes, and give us a fresh vision of His call in our life. So bow with me, would you please? Lord Jesus, we love You. And we love You because You first loved us. We are certainly humbled by the reality that God would take a piece of dirt and love us and use us for His cause. Now, Father, refresh our minds, refresh our hearts to the reality and the truth of which we are wanting to preach and teach on for these next days. And Lord, this being the first for this body of people, open our hearts and may we willingly desire God to do His work in us today. And Lord, I know it's somewhat of a different type of a message that maybe a visitor has come in here and they're expecting something else. But Lord, prepare their heart for this truth. If they're not saved, they may be religious, they may be good, but they have never been born again. Bring their hearts around to the reality that their greatest need is a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. Help me in this presentation. May I be well hid and You seen. And Father, we'll thank You for it. We ask it in Christ our Savior's name. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 3, and let's look at verses 9 and 10, if you would. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Then take your Bible, and let's turn to verse 27 of that same chapter. Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Behold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Now, let's step aside just for a side note on this verse of Scripture. Primarily, we're talking and we're making an open admission here. What this meeting is about people financially, prayerfully supporting missions around the world for the gospel's sake. Now, the verse I just read is not mentioning money. It is mentioning substance of good. Look what it says again, verse 27. Behold, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Now, allow me to ask this first of all. Is the gospel good? Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, it's the best. Because it's the only thing in all the world, the only thing that'll make a difference in a person's eternality between their heaven and the devil's hell. And there's nothing else that you can deliver to the world that'll change their destiny but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what this meeting is about. So we're talking about delivering something good to them, which is the gospel. But now notice something else in that verse. It says, to whom it is due. We have a debt. Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 1, that we have a debt. We are debtors. And that is that we get the gospel that is due them. Every man, and I mentioned this earlier, my friend Charles Keene made this statement and coined it. He said, it is so terribly wrong for a man to hear the gospel twice before the world has heard it once. And how we are working on getting missionaries to Switzerland, all over the world, to every nationality of people that is labeled in time today. Now, with that mind, it says, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. So the third thing I want to ask this, do you and I have the ability to get the gospel there? Yeah. Well, the amen's a little less on that one. You're not sure. And here's the thing. When we are put in a spot where what we're talking about is going to cost us, it gets terribly quiet. I know that is a fact. Don't be afraid to affirm what God has already affirmed. Stand on it, stand with it, and God has already committed us to it. We just need to take His commitment and commit ourselves to what He's committed us to. That's called obedience. Obedience. So now let's take our Bible and let's turn to chapter 11 of Proverbs. Chapter 11 of Proverbs. And let's look, if you would please, at verses 24 and 25. 24 and 25 of Proverbs 11. It says this: "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more is meat than meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." My dear friend, in order for seed to increase, it must be scattered. For the Word of God to do its accomplishment and its purpose, it must be sent. And that's why these missionaries are giving themselves. Now, here's my prayer. Ever since your good pastor called and asked me if I had this date available that I could come and spend the time with and talk about missions, I've been praying for a couple of things. And I'm not saying it's been a daily prayer, but almost a daily prayer. First of all, I've been praying that God would reach into the heart of this church where they would want, all of you individually, personally, would want to be part of what God's involved in. Whatever God is doing, I want to be there. And He's in soul winning, and He's in the heart of missions. And then the second thing, I've been praying that God would touch the heart of individuals about going to the mission field to be part of God's soul winning program over there. You know, age has nothing to do with it. I had and became a friend with a man that retired from the railroad. He was an engineer on the railroad for many, many years, and he lived long enough that he could retire. After he retired at the age of 55, he went to Bible college, trained, and he went to Mexico as a missionary, and he stayed there until he died. My dear friend, you're never too old to serve God somewhere, somehow. Let's be faithful to it. So we're talking about understanding missions. Now, turn over to Malachi. Now, I'm going to read a few verses, but I'm not going to comment on all these verses because it's really a series within itself. Not just a message. There's a lot of messages in this portion. But after I read this portion of Scripture, I want to lift out two words. Now follow me and let's start with verse 7 of Malachi 3. "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" Now here's what you're going to find about the book of Malachi. It's a book full of questions and answers from chapter 1 to the conclusion of the 4th chapter. But now let's pick up on verse 8. "Will a man rob God?" You know, the one thing that I really appreciate about God's book, it goes straight to the point. And here he says, "Will a man rob God?" You know, when you get old, you get kind of crusty. And I pastored a good-sized church for many years. And just south of our church are two federal installations. They're called prison. And I've been in both of those prisons. Not the way you're thinking. I've gone in there to preach for them. And I was preaching on stewardship one month. And I mentioned this chapter. I was in this portion of Scripture. And I said, you know, all of the thieves are not caught. They're not all in the Warren facility and the Lebanon Institute down here. I have found out after pastoring this church so many years, I pastor a bunch of them. I shouldn't have said that. But I did, and it kind of had an impact, so I didn't apologize for it. And here's the thing. It's a true statement. Do you realize the minority of people support the entirety of a ministry? What could be done if every believer knew this truth, believed it, and responded to it? And that is this. You think what you have in your billfold, what you have in your purse, what you may have in a bank account is yours. It isn't. The book of Haggai says this, all the gold and all the silver are mine, saith the Lord. He owns the world and the fullness thereof. That's Scripture. My dear friend, God is such a good God that He loans us. He loans us. And here's what He does. He says, all right, I'm going to give you a dollar, 100 pennies, but I do charge interest. And I charge 10%. But if you believe me and you're honest and you give me back that 10%, I promise you this, I will make 90% go further in your life than you'll ever make 100 cents go in your life. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Put me to the test and see if I am not who and what I say that I am. So let's read verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away. We read that. Will a man rob God? Yes. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me. Even this whole nation. Now let's stop there, just this. Because next verse says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. My dear friend, this is not law. Tithe was never under the law. Tithe was given 500 years before the law was ever given. So it is not a practice of the law. It's not obedience to the law. It is obedience to the heartbeat of God. Now look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, and that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All of us love blessings and to be blessed. There it is. And I will rebuke the devourer for the sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, there's many, many points, but there's two words I want to bring out. Tithes, offering. Here's what it is. When you look at the tithe, that's expectation. God expects it. Then there is the offering. That's expression. For God so loved the world that He gave. God expressed His love by giving His only begotten Son. We express our love by giving. Somebody please say amen there. Amen. Oh, that's good to my hearing aids. Appreciate it. Now, let's get to the subject. Understanding missions. The word missions is not found in the Word of God. The word we translate as missions is actually translated evangelist or evangelism. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And that's exactly what missionaries do. They go there to win and establish there, evangelizing the world. Then missions is the establishment and fulfillment of God's soul-winning plan for the world. In Matthew chapter 28, we have what is commonly called the Great Commission, the Great Command, and that command begins with the word go. So we automatically know that the beginning of surrender to missions is I'm going. somewhere God has a there in my life, whether it is here, there, or whether it is there, there, God has a there for our lives. And my dear friend, Jesus said this, or he said, now, I want you men, he'd already risen from the dead, and he says, I want you men to go to Jerusalem and tarry there. Now, you'll find this in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And he says, you go to Jerusalem and you tarry there until you are endued with power from on high. Now, those disciples, they could have gone anywhere they chose to go in the world, but they would have not been endued with the power of God because that happened there. That happened in Jerusalem. And not, my dear friend, until you and I surrender to the there of God's life, of God's call in our life, we will never have the power of God in its full measure on our life until we are there doing what God has called us to do there. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Right there it is. So we have the command, the goal of the commission. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we have the promise that God gives us to the obedience of the going, and that is that ye shall receive power upon you. And my dear friend, nothing in the world can be accomplished for the cause of Christ without the power of God on our lives. For us to better understand world missions, there's three primary biblical principles that's revealed to us in Scripture. Very quickly, we first find the first one in what I've already established in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, and that's the command. God has given us a command. Now, there was a fellow by the name of Bob Hayes. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him. He's long time been with the Lord. But he was a long time missionary in the field of the Philippines. And he was quite an individual, if anyone ever knew of him. But he made this statement, and I've never forgotten it. He said, why are we waiting for a call when God has given us the command? My dear friend, the call is within the obedience to the command when he says, go into all the world. And if we are obedient to that command, we'll fulfill God's purpose in our life. Amen. Then not only the command, but God's love for the lost demands the art and the call of missions. And Jesus said this in the high priestly prayer in John 17, 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have also sent them into the world. There's great comfort to know that when I'm in the there of my life, I'm where God wants me, and God sent me, and I am where God has meant for me to be. And as God in that high priestly prayer through Christ said, even so send them as I was sent, God is still sending. Somebody, someone in this place may well have the tap of God on their life for the surrender of them to God's plan for the life. The world, listen, the world needs you. They need you. And then thirdly, God's love through me for others promotes it. For God so loved the world that he gave. John 3:16. So let's look further into the biblical clarity on missions. And everything in this meeting, from this morning to the closing of Wednesday night, everything in this meeting and every year that you ever have this meeting is found in our personal vision of missions. Seeing things. Now listen, our vision of missions is found in this statement. Seeing things from God's perspective. Seeing things from God's perspective. See, if we give it over to our emotion, our feelings, we can be very prejudiced and very cockeyed and crooked in our understanding and reasoning. We can say such things like this. And I took a man to a mission field with me one time, and he just didn't get it. He didn't get it at all. I took him into a poverty-stricken part of our world, and he judged them for their poverty. He didn't see their need of a relationship to Christ. See, here's what I'm going to say. Some parts of the world forbid you to live well. No matter what kind of education you got. If you are living in poverty, you're going to live in poverty. But my dear friend, we're not talking about the poverty of the dollar. We're talking about the poverty of the gospel.
Amen.
And every man, and we can look at some and say, well, they're lazy, they're dirty, they're this. My dear friend, you go stand in front of a mirror somewhere and tell me what's the difference between the need of their heart and the need of your heart. All men, there's none righteous. No, not one. None are righteous. So here we are. Number one, the cause for missions. The cause for it. Why does this church have the desire and the burning in their soul? Why does this pastor have a drive in them? And you know this. I'm learning it, but you know it. He torments you every day that you come into this building. He drives his heart because he has a world vision and a heartbeat to make a difference to somebody's life between heaven and hell.
Amen.
And he wants you to be part of that.
Right.
See, I happen to believe this, and it's a play on words, and I've even had people want to argue with me, and I just don't argue. But I believe there's a broad difference between having a mission program and having a missions ministry. I wouldn't give you a dime for a program. Because, my dear friend, God's ministry of outreach is a lifetime commitment. Where a program, it starts here and it quits here, and we're not in the quitting business. Men still die and go to hell. They need the gospel. The cause for missions, very easily seen. I want to show you three things. First of all, because of the fall of man. The fall of man. The Bible says this, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, the gospel doesn't have a nationality. It doesn't have a color. It is neutral in every area except it is for whosoever will. And thank God you cannot deliver the gospel to the wrong address.
Amen.
The demands of man, the fall of man, demands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then not only the fall of man, but because of the fall of man, the second cause for missions is the future of an unsaved man. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, Luke 16. A lost man dies without Christ. Our sweet missionary to Switzerland made a mention of different kinds of people that are in Switzerland. You have unbelievers, you have religious people, you have denominational people. I've been there, and you have a high percentage of people that say they're atheist. Do you know what? Every atheist dies to become a believer. The first second they draw a brimstone breath into an abandoned soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's not be late with the gospel. Let's not be late with the gospel. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The future of unsaved men, they die and they go to hell. And I've had some people deserve hell. Every man deserves hell. I don't deserve salvation, but God so loved that He gave. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. See, salvation changes people. That's what I heard in Sunday school this morning. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when I become a new creation in Christ Jesus, I'm a new man And now I'm a good citizen. The gospel changes people. It changes nations. And then the third cause for missions is the faith provided to man through the hearing of the gospel. It changes. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. The command to the disciples and to the children of God is one dynamic truth. 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word. I mentioned earlier this morning that out of all the taking to anything and to anyone in part of the world, the one thing that does not change is the message of the gospel.
Amen.
I've preached in a lot of places, but the gospel never changed. I've slept in a lot of strange places with a lot of strange things, but the gospel never changed. Number two, not only the calls for missions, but the call to missions. We have three areas from which we get a call. First of all, we get a call from the church. If you do a study of the Word of God and you look close and pay attention, in the four Gospels and in the opening of the book of Acts, we are challenged and we're giving the command of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel. If God says something once, you better listen. But if He gives it to you four times, He means business. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Sit down, look at a globe, flip it around, and take your finger and stop it somewhere. That needs the gospel.
Amen.
Are we delivering? The church has a call. This church, local, has a call. The call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. How are we doing, church? See, I can't judge you. I don't know you. But I know this. Are we reaching our potential? I can't answer that. And I'm not asking this church collectively. And I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but I'll point to the preacher. And I don't care about him. But preacher, personally, and this is a fair question. And asking it this, am I personally meeting my potential for the gospel's sake? I can't answer that. Can you? Are you involved? What are you doing? Can I do more? Then not only the call of the church, the call to the Christian personally. John 17 and verse 18. Jesus is letting us know in that high priestly prayer, He's interested in you. You say, but preacher, I'm getting older. I'm older. I'm limited. And I understand that. Believe you me, I do understand that. I'm not making light of that. And it is true. There's two kinds of missionaries. You know what I'm getting ready to say. There are the senders and there are the goers. And you may not be able to go there, but you can help send someone there. I mentioned this earlier, that you realize a missionary that is not a national is absolutely dependent upon the local church in this country to help them be legally there. An American going to Switzerland can't buy property. They can't own a home. They can only live there and pay their expenses by the faithfulness of the sender. Weakly said, their ability to succeed can only be done by the faithfulness of the local church to give.
Amen.
That's it. And then thirdly, a call from the condemned. Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10 says, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10 says, the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There are lost people hungry for truth. They are crying out as they did in John 19 when it says, what is truth? John 17, what is truth? Thy word is truth. And these missionaries are at the mercy and at the sake of God's people that are faithful, that to help get there so they can deliver the truth. And then the third thought I want to give you very quickly is the companions in missions. It's not one. It's a company. It's many that are involved. Let me give it to you first. First of all, there's the bride. It's called the church. The bride, Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The bride, the church. And I say this again. God works through the local New Testament church.
Amen.
That's how He accomplishes His will. Not only is the bride, but then from the bride we have the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The church and the book are bound. Then from the church to the book, the believer. Because of this church, because of this book, I'm a believer. One day, sitting as a child, I heard a preacher tell me that I must be born again. I believed it. I was convicted. I responded. Not in an invitation, but thinking about heaven and hell as a young child in the back seat of my daddy's car. In repentance and faith and childlike faith, I said yes to Jesus Christ and I passed from death to life. And in a child's spirit, I was changed. I became a new creation. And as time passed, God called and put me into the ministry. The believer. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7 teaches me that. I have faith to respond. I believe God. I can trust God. Do you? And then there's prayer. I want to give you seven things on how we're to pray. Number one, we're to pray biblically. Not my selfishness, but the will of God. Then I'm to pray specifically, not in general. That's the reason when somebody asks me to pray. Now, I know there's unknown prayer requests. I understand that. For I have to just fling it out to God and trust Him with it, and I can trust God with it. But if I want to know how to pray very specifically about a need, tell me about it. Then thirdly, I'm to pray intelligently. That's I can pray intelligently with you giving me the information. Then I'm to pray spiritually, biblically and spiritually. Then I'm to pray earnestly, beg and plead, I beseech thee. Then I'm to pray continually. Men ought always to pray. Pray without ceasing. Stay in the attitude of prayer. And then I'm to pray obediently. I'm told to pray. And then there is a fourth partner, and that's money. That's money. Let me give you three little thoughts about money. Money's not bad. Money's not good. Somebody say, a man told me one time, said, would you take money from somebody gambling? Yeah, I would. They're using it for bad. I'd put it to good. You win the lottery, I don't expect you to tithe on that. I expect you to give the whole thing. It's what you do with it. But my dear friend, it doesn't belong to you. It's loaned to you. So money, let me give you this one, first one. Giving is a ministry. Giving is a worship. Yes, it is. And that's according to 2 Corinthians 8:1. Giving is a grace. Yes. And that word grace carries with it this. It is God enabling you to do so. God says, I can, I'm going to do it. Prove me. Giving. It's extended to us by God. Then number two, giving is a necessity. Where in the world did you come up with that, Green? Well, I read the Bible once. And I found in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, tells me that it is. Has God ever lied to you? Ever lied to you? Okay, let me tell you something. Are you listening? The greatest verse in the Bible, I'm going to give it to you. If I were to give that to you, a lot of people are going to say John 3:16, but it's not John 3:16. John 3:16 hangs on the verse I'm going to give you. Here it is. The greatest verse in Scripture. The greatest. None better, no, none greater. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Here's part of it. In the hope of eternal life, in that God cannot lie. Every truth hangs on that fact. If God can lie in one thing, He can lie in anything. You can't trust Him. But I trust Him. Amen. Do you know the simplicity of the psalmist? You know what the psalmist said about God? Read it. It's in the King James. He's good. Amen. So if God cannot lie and He tells me He is good, He's good. And He's good all the time. You can believe me. God cannot lie. So since God cannot lie, He is bound, He is obligated by His truth to do everything He promised, He said He would do. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that true?
Yes.
So if God's truth responds to my need, and in repentance and faith, I ask Him to save me, and He saves me, and you say amen.
Amen.
Will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You cannot. Are you hearing me? Are you going to go away and love me? You cannot give an offering until you tithe. Cannot. Once you give your tithe, now you can give an offering. And what we're talking about in faith promise, you don't take from your tithe to give. The tithe belongs to the Lord. The Bible said that. Now, it's up to my discretion and my love life with God to determine what my offering is. Here's the prayer. There's going to be a commitment in this meeting. Don't act without praying. Don't act without praying. Giving is a necessity. And then lastly, you can put shoes on, we're going to leave. Giving is rewarded. Giving is rewarded. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 19. When I give, God responding to our need through our generosity to others and their need. Dear people, in my church where I pastored for many, many years, the greatest meeting we ever had annually, it set the spiritual pace of our church for the year, was our faith promise meeting. When our church determined what their heartbeat was in giving, that's the spirit of our church for the entire year. Missions. Know what's in your heart. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you don't understand. But missions is more for you than anyone sitting in this room. Because mission is this: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Missions is delivering the gospel truth to a lost and dying soul. Is that you? We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship to know Him. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed? And I'm going to ask Pastor Mix if he would come and be ready. I'm going to let him handle the invitation. He knows you and I do not. But today, let me just give this suggestion. It would be a wonderful, wonderful time if for no other reason that you would come to find a place that you can start this meeting on your knees with saying, God, give me direction, give me knowledge as to what part you want me to play in your soul-winning plan that goes around the world. Father, speak to our hearts. Use your word and we'll praise you for it. And dear God, may this meeting have your impact to change it forever. And our praise is given to Thee in Christ's name, Pastor.
Amen. As Mr. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. Won't you come? If you'd like to trust Christ as your Savior, come. Let me show you in the Bible how to be saved. Today, if you want to know God's will for you in missions, start asking Him, God, what would you have me do? What would you have me trust you for? If you just have a need and want to talk to somebody, I'm here.
Claiming the good news, winning families to Jesus all around His neighborhood. He tells them that God is able to make His house a home. He wants to win His world for Christ, but He can't do it alone. But each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Then together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one reach one, the message is unchanging. Go ye into all the world and share the love of Jesus far away or door to door. Just like somebody told you that Jesus loves you so, you must tell someone who will tell someone until the whole world knows.
Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
For each one can reach one. As we follow after Christ, we all can lead one. We can lead one to the Savior. Together we can tell the world that Jesus is the way. If we each one,
every head bowed, every eye closed,
each one.
As she continues to play, the altar is open. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? It's a free gift. God, the great giver, sent the first missionary, Jesus, to us, so that we would be saved. Listen, each one of us knows somebody who doesn't know the Lord. And as we come upon this Easter season, it's our responsibility not just to help missionaries get to the field. We are to reach the field immediately around us. Each one of us can reach another person as you have been reached. As Dr. Green said, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just start praying. God, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? I beg you, Father, in the next few moments, God, we thank you for the message and the messenger. But as we leave this place, let not the message disappear in our hearts, but burn there. Stir us, oh God. Stir us. Help us to see the need in the people we work with and the people who live next door. Help us to see the need for people we don't even know around the world. And let us obey your command to not only give, but to go with the truth of the gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.